I want to briefly talk about baptism, and the reason why I want to talk about baptism is because I love it. I get very excited about it. Things like this make me very excited. Do they excite you?
Yeah.
Enjoy it. It's something I tell people about. It. I'm looking forward to it. Today's a baptism Sunday. We're excited. I've been telling people for months, been excited about baptizing Charlie. I'm excited about it. And one of the reasons I really love baptism is because I think it tells us two of the most important things you need to know to live a full life. Two of the most important things you need to understand in order to live a full life. And as I was praying about Sean's baptism, thinking about what I was going to say this morning, this was the story I wanted to share. And I wanted to share with you these two things that come out in the passage. We've just heard Jess share the story of Jesus' baptism. What a day that must have been. You can imagine. I'm just trying to picture the scene for you. So I think that it's an excellent idea that we use this. Jesus was by the River Jordan. Sean was less keen on the River Cole this morning.
A bit cold.
So we've gone with a pool, which I think is an excellent idea. But Jesus lived in a hot country, so fair enough, you're obviously going to. Anyway, by the River Jordan. And Jesus is coming to get baptised. Now, what you might not know is that this was kind of a symbol of graduation. Got some teenagers in our congregation this morning. The prospect of graduation is a big deal, isn't it? Graduation is the thing that you've got in your mind. This is the thing we're building towards. Graduation is a big deal. For Jesus coming to get baptized, that was part of what was going on here. So Jesus is coming to the River Jordan and he's getting graduated from being a student to being a teacher. So he is a student, he's going to get baptized, he's going to become a teacher or a rabbi to give it its first century context. So you can picture the scene. Jesus is coming to the river. He's going to graduate. This is a big deal. You want your friends, you want your family there, because Jesus is going to graduate, he's going to get baptized. And his cousin is going to do it. Isn't that good? Get your cousin to baptize you. So Jesus, there's my cousin John. John's over here, he's doing the baptism. Jesus is coming to the river. And the reason why I'm sharing all this story is because Sian's training to be a lawyer. And as a lawyer, she will know this. How many witnesses do you need to become legally married?
Two
witnesses. Very good points for you, Sean. Well,
extra bit. Put that in my assignment.
Yeah, put that in your assignment, yes. Extra bit of paper you later. Don't pretend we don't educate in church as well. Anyway, you need two witnesses. You've got an important document, you need two witnesses, don't you? You need two people to sign. Now, in Jesus' context, this was also fairly similar. So in order for Jesus to graduate from a student to a teacher, he needs two witnesses. He needs two witnesses. And if he can get two witnesses, then he becomes a rabbi with samika, which means a rabbi with authority. So Jesus needs two people to vouch for him. This is the same thing as when we need two people to vouch for us when we're getting married. We need two people to vouch for us. Jesus is coming to the river. He's going to get baptized. It's like a graduation. He needs two witnesses in order for him to graduate from being a student to being a teacher. And Jesus is there. And his friends and his family have gathered around. But there's a small problem, and you may have picked it up in the passage, which is that Jesus has only got one witness, which is awkward. The only person Jesus can get to vouch for him is his cousin. Now, I wanted to share this story because I knew Sean's testimony. Sometimes in our life, we feel the only people we're backing us up are our family, don't we? And you're looking around and you're thinking, surely someone is going to back me up here. And you can imagine Jesus is coming to graduate from being a student. This is a big deal in Jesus' life. He's coming to the River Jordan. He needs two witnesses and he can't get them. And he comes to the River Jordan and all he's got is his cousin. This was a big deal. In fact, later on in Jesus' life, people come up to Jesus, and this is John, and they say to him, when Jesus is like healing people and teaching, they say, "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "Who gave you authority to do this? Where did your samika come from? Where did your authority come from?" Because you need two witnesses. Jesus goes to the River Jordan. He needs two witnesses, and it's awkward. Because no one backs him up. He's got one. He's got his cousin John. So Jesus goes into the River Jordan, I imagine feeling a little bit disappointed by the lack of witnesses, by the lack of support. Do you ever feel like you're going through something in your life and you just feel that, I wish people would back me up just a little bit more, yeah? I wish I didn't feel so alone. Jesus knows how you feel. Jesus goes down into the water, and all he can get is his cousin John, who is a little bit of a nutter, it must be said. Eats locusts and things. All he can get is his mad cousin John. That's all he can find. And I want to read to you the next passage as Jesus goes into the water. And it says this. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son. In you I am well pleased. You are my son. In you I am well pleased. Because there are times in our life where we feel that no one is backing us up. There are times in our life where we feel all we've got is our mad cousin John to be our witness. And Jesus comes up out of the water and God himself tears open the heavens and says, you are my son. And in you I am well pleased. Because let me tell you this, that when no one else backs you up and when you feel like you are alone, I can assure you that God does not leave you. I can assure you that when God looks on you, he is still saying the same thing today as he was saying 2,000 years ago to Jesus. You are my son, and in you I am well pleased. You are my daughter, and in you I am well pleased. And I get excited about this, because God is saying over you this morning, I am well pleased with you. And why does that make me excited? Because I'm also from Essex, like God. So phrases like, well pleased, we resonate. God is from Essex. Hallelujah. You heard it here first. Well, second, because I actually said it at Jess's baptism as well. I've only got one baptism joke and that was it. And Tracy's. All right, don't rub it in. We're doing so many. That's the thing we need to know in our lives. I said there were two important things we need to know in our lives, and I assure you that is the first one, that when no one else seems to back you up, when no one else seems to be by your side, when you feel alone, you can assure yourself that God does not leave you. The one important thing you need to know, the most important thing, is that God loves you. That God loves you. The thing that really got me from Sean's story, and there were lots of bits when I was tearing up, so I'm sure they're for you, was when she said, I came and I met Alan and Avril, and I never felt judged. I came into this church and I knew I was welcome. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. Because we worship a God who is willing to tear open the heavens and say, this is my son, when no one else will stand for you, when no one else will back you up, when you need two witnesses and all you can find is your crazy cousin John, then I will tear open the heavens and say, you are my child. And in you, I am well pleased. We need to know we're loved. We need to know we're loved by God. That is the fundamental, the most important truth, the most important attitude, the most important thing. That you are loved by God. And then there's another one. I said there were two, so this is the second one. I did tell Sean this before we baptised her, and I'm glad Margaret mentioned it in her prayers, but it is a symbol of dying, isn't it? Well, you know, it's a baptism. It's a symbol. I did tell you that, didn't I? Yeah, good, okay. No, no.
It's a bit
not
like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Not lost one yet. It's important to bring them back up again. Anyway, it's a symbol. It's a symbol of death. It's a symbol of death. And so what we do, as you saw, we lower Sean down into the water as a symbol of dying. And then, if all goes well, which it did, we bring them back up again as a symbol of new life. Because the other wonderful thing about Jesus' baptism is that it marks the start of something exciting. This was a graduation. Jesus says, I love you, and then Jesus can start doing some exciting stuff because he knows he's loved. And this symbol of baptism, for me, is also a symbol of a new start. It's a fresh beginning. Sometimes at the start of a new year, it's nice just to go and have a spa day, isn't it? You feel like you just want to be clean. I can start something new. First thing in the morning, you feel a bit cold. What do? You get in the shower. Because the shower is a symbol of being made clean. And now where there's a fresh start, we can start something new. The exciting thing about baptism for you, Sean, as it is for us, is that it's a symbol of a new start for all of us. After Jesus is baptized, he then gives a fantastic sermon just a few verses later. And he stands up in front of all these people and he says, This is the first talk, sorry. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. He has sent me to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. If you want to feel inspired, I'd encourage you to chat to Sean afterwards about some of the stuff she wants to do in the charity sector and setting up new things to help people who have been in similar situations to her, to give people a voice. I think it's exciting that the first sermon Jesus gives after getting baptised is this: God has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free. Similar stuff to what Sean wants to do. As I say, talk to her about it afterwards. I can guarantee you'll be inspired. Two things we need to know in our life. We need to know that we are loved by God, and we need to know that we've got a purpose. We need to know that we've got a job to do. You need to know that you are not put on this earth by accident. You need to know that there are things in this world that need to be changed because you are on it. We need to know that God is not finished with you yet. We need to know that we can have a fresh start, don't we? And that's why it was such a joy to be baptized. Sean, we lower her down. It's a symbol of getting rid of all that rubbish that we don't want to carry around with us. Sean said it was really important for her that she got baptized now at this stage in her life, because she wants to draw a line under the stuff that's happened before and say, I am a new woman. From today on, I get a fresh start. So we lower her down and we lift her back up. This is for you guys as well. This isn't just for Sean. You need to know you're loved, but you also need to know that today's a new day. You can know that whatever happened yesterday and last week and last month can be left in the past, that you can die to it, and you can come up again and get a fresh start. Because baptism isn't just a one-off, it's a thing that we do continually. We keep on leaving stuff behind. We keep on having a fresh start. This is what it says in Hebrews, which I think is really good. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Today is a great day for Sean. It's a symbol that she is loved by God unconditionally. The waters, like a symbol of God's love rushing over her, that nothing that she's ever done, thought, said, will ever hinder her from knowing how much God loves her. That's true for you too. That you are loved by God. And we can also know that we have a purpose. We've got something to do. That tomorrow is a new day. Today we can leave this place knowing that we can leave our past behind us. That we can go into something new. Something fresh. That we can cast off the rubbish. Throw off everything that hinders. And run the race that God has set before us. Let's pray. God, there are times in our life where we feel that no one vouches for us or backs us up. We thank you that you are a God who rips open the heavens to say, you are my child. In you I'm well pleased. I pray that today we would know your love. We would know your overwhelming, unearned, unconditional love. And God, I pray that we would get excited about the things you've called us to do, the purposes you've given us, the new future that you have written for us, the new start that you offer us. We thank you that as Sean went into the waters, that she has left behind anything in the past that is going to hinder her in the future. We thank you that as we come to you, we can leave anything in the past at the foot of your cross, that we can get a new start because you love us, that our future doesn't have to be defined by our past. We thank you, Jesus, for your love. We thank you, Jesus, for your fresh start. May we know that this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.